Good morning, family. It gives me great joy to greet you once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust you all are keeping connected to the heart of Abba Father, and your hearts are being warmed by the many resources we are sending out your way to equip you, to encourage you, to prepare you, and to mature you. I'm hoping that you are forwarding all these resources to your colleagues, to your family, and to other believers in various households. Over the last two weeks, we have been covering sessions or teachings on spiritual authority. I wish to continue on part three this morning. I urge you by the mercies of God that you take these teachings, you'll dissect them, you'll meditate upon them, you will use them to do an audit on your lives, and then you will spread it out to others. Spiritual authority. It is a powerful topic. It is central to the Word of God, to the principles of obedience and submission. Spiritual authority is authority that comes from God. It's delegated to various people that God deems responsible, placing them over various spheres of ministry to represent Him in the earth. As we covered last week, there are three dimensions of spiritual authority, and these dimensions must be practically outworked in your lives. It must be evident in your life. It must be evident that you are connected to the main source, who is God Himself. Okay, the mark of spiritual authority. Number one, the first dimension, the mark of spiritual authority is Christ-likeness. Like Christ, who submitted to His Father right to the end. Throughout His ministry, He said this so profoundly in John chapter 5, verse 19, I will not say and do anything outside my Father's consent. And that is true Christ-likeness, following the Father. And as we copy or emulate Christ-likeness in our lives, we must do everything like Christ. The second dimension is the mandate of spiritual authority, and that is to lead. We are in the earth. Our job is to lead you as the people of God, the sheep of His pasture, the ones that are being equipped. And 2 Timothy 2:2 will talk about how to invest into responsible and reliable men who will take the resources and then spread it out to others, okay? So we have a solemn responsibility to lead. Leading is not being a boss. It's not being oppressive. It's not being condescending. To lead means to serve the body of Christ. Every man of God has a responsibility as a spiritual father to serve the body of Christ, to serve the purposes of God, to serve the calling that's within that particular man of God. Then we spoke about the ministry of those given spiritual authority is threefold. Number one, it's to guard the flock. Number two, it's to govern the flock. And number three, it's to guide the flock. I want to take this morning's teaching from this point again, guarding the flock. What do we guard the flock against? What do we guard you against? We guard you against from wolves that are within the house of God. They are wolves. Listen, beloved, we must have one culture, and the culture of Christ-likeness, and we have to guard this culture in the house of God with our lives, the nature of Christ-likeness. And if you look at all the qualities and the characteristics of Christ, they all have to have a landing strip in our local house. Every individual has to be trained to come to the full measure of the stature of Christ. And that is our responsibility as as leaders, as those that to guard the flock. And there are many people within churches that form groups, splinter groups within churches. There are groups that do not submit to the vision in the heart of the Father. There are many people there that have agendas within the house. They are planning through ambition. They are planning to have their own little work within the main work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in a family, and it doesn't work in the church of Jesus Christ. And so we have only one father, only one mother in a biological family, and no child can take that place. No elder son can take the place. He will always be a son. That place is sovereignly reserved for mom and dad by a structure that God has set up, okay? Even in the church, there can only be one father and only one mother, only one set of spiritual parents that will lead the house of God. And the vision is deposited or dropped into the heart of that man by God as God nominates the sent one or a father of the house or a called out one who has been nominated with a divine calling, not with a self-appointed calling, not with a man-appointed calling, but with a God-appointed calling. Yes, a calling that comes from God is a true man of God, and a true man of God will guard the flock against wolves within. And let's see what Acts 20 verse 28 to 32 tells us. We'll read that verse of scripture again. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And that's referring to Mama Val and myself in our context, to shepherd, to tend, to feed, to guide GMDS or the Church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Therefore, the church is his church. Jesus said, I am building my church. It's not Ivan Apana's church. I serve the purpose of God. You don't worship me. You don't worship my wife. You don't worship what I have. You worship Jesus Christ, because with his own blood, he bought the church. He started the church. I did not give my blood on the cross. Jesus did. Therefore, you belong to him. I work for him. I serve his purpose. No more I must be seen. He must be seen in Jesus' name. For I know this, that after my departure, said Paul, savage and ferocious wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up. Listen, this is what we're trying to cut. And when we talk about the Korah spirit, the Absalom spirit, the Saul spirit, and various other spirits that will rise up with amongst ourselves, man, we need to address them and cut them off, destroy them completely, so that the house of God could be full of Christ and full of the agenda of Christ and Christ alone. Amen. These guys will come in. They'll speak perverse, distorted things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, be continually alert, and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. Verse 32, Paul says, I commend you to God, placing you in God's protective, loving care and favor. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is the counsel and the promises of his unmerited favor. Grace will build you up, beloved, and will give you your inheritance amongst the sanctified. Come with me as we read Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1 to 4 in the Amplified. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, the spiritual shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, judgment is coming to the spiritual shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat, the choicest of meat, and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the best of the livestock, but you do not feed the flock. You have not strengthened those who are weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bandaged the crippled. You have not brought back those gone astray. You have not looked for the lost, but you have ruled them with force and violence. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. There was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the predators of the field. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every hill, high hill. My flock was scattered over the face of the earth, and no one searched or sought them out. Listen, there's a few points from this passage of scripture. Talking about spiritual shepherds, some of them have no regard for the sheep. Some of them don't resource the sheep. They are not feeding the sheep. Thank God that we have been convicted and we are overfeeding you. Daily devotions, other teachings, e-books are coming. All types of Bible studies are coming. The word on Sunday morning is coming from the heart of Abba Father. But there are also sheep. Be careful for those sheep. Be careful for them. And I want to list some of the points from this passage of scripture, Ezekiel 34. They don't feed the sheep. They use them instead. These are all false spiritual shepherds. They don't feed the sheep. They use them instead. They mislead the sheep. Not because they don't know the truth, but because they are rebellious. They don't help the weak. They condemn them and let them die. They don't see the lost unless they can use them. They rule with harshness. They tend to blame all the problems on the victims, either directly or by implication. Next, they claim to know everything. They throw the statement, I'm a chosen servant of God, so that no one would want to comment. They tend to involve themselves in other people's personal affairs. They are busybodies who are adamant about their advice to you. They think that if you will just do what they say, you will be fine. They cling to a few scriptures in the Bible. This is because they are shallow in almost every area of their lives. Usually they don't accomplish much because their commitment is not deep enough. Most of them are authoritarian and they act superior. They're manipulative, more concerned about their ministry than with the people. They minister to you for their own emotional satisfaction, perhaps for monetary gain or for a sense of feeling puffed up. They use people for their own ends, like the sons of Eli. They're usually not accountable. They are independent, they do not spare the vision, and they are selfish. They have a great desire for power and authority. They want high positions, and they want to associate with certain influential leaders so that these influential leaders can approve them. What a shame. Secondly, we need to guard the flock against false doctrines. You can read that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 to 5. Beloved, I'm giving you lots of scriptures purposefully so that you could go home, redo the study, restudy, open the scriptures, pause your recording, your teaching, open the scriptures, find the stuff so that these teachings are staying with you in your life so that it adjusts you and gets you ready for the second coming. Amen. Thirdly, we have to guard the flock against deceivers. 2 John verse 7 to 11. Next, we have to guard the flock against those who cause division. You can read that in Romans chapter 16 verse 17 and 18. And you read in Titus chapter 3 verse 9 to 11. Read these things. If you want to pause the teaching, because this is a recording, pause it, open the scriptures, read them, and then continue the teaching. Come on. We must be students of the word. We must be diligent in the word of God. We must study to show ourselves proved. We cannot just be aimless. As I said last week, this is not just a movie we're watching. This is life, beloved. This is bread from heaven. This is life that will transform you, change your day, change your life, give you back your identity, help you to face tomorrow and attract favor from both God and from man. Next, we are to guard the flock against immorality. You read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 13. The church must stop tolerating those
who are immoral, those who are unfaithful to their spouses, judgment is going to be extremely severe in this category, immorality. Listen, I want to talk to you today. You are unfaithful to your spouse. If you are talking to someone else other than your spouse and your spouse does not know about this, it is unfaithfulness. Your relationship should be based on truth, on transparency, openness, and total trust in each other and in God. So there are many small things you may be conducting in your life outside the knowledge of your spouse, and you think that you can get away, but I have warning for you. God sees everything. God does not slumber, no sleep. And I urge you today, if there's unfaithfulness, if there's immorality, if there's pornography, if there's thoughts in your life that you're entertaining about someone else, stop it today. Judgment is going to be extremely severe to believers who pose or profess to be Christ-like, but they are far from what Christ-likeness is. Okay? I sounded very serious there, but I want to adjust you so that you don't lose out in life. You don't lose out in life. You have a wonderful life in Christ, okay? Some of these things cannot be tolerated in Christ-likeness or in the secret place. It has to be exposed so that all our lives are emulating Christ. Amen. Say amen. Secondly, we have the responsibility to govern the flock by tending the flock. Now, 1 Peter 5, verse 5, 1 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. We read this before, but let me read this again. Now, as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders, that's the spiritual fathers, among you to tend the flock of God that is in your charge. That is in your charge. God has placed GMDS in my charge together with Mama Val. We are one and you've placed you in charge. When you're in charge, you have to steward that environment. You have to manage the environment. You have to bring a profit in the environment. You have to address issues in that environment. When you're in charge, some of you are in charge of departments. You have to address them. You have to call your staff. You have to speak into their lives. You have to give them certain warnings. You have to see that they give you the desired results from your senior superior. Come on. So we don't do these things because we have nothing else to do when we call you and speak into your lives. God is directing us by His Holy Spirit to talk into your lives because He's placed us in charge. And Paul goes on to say, exercising the oversight. We have to exercise the oversight. Therefore, we cannot be absent in your lives. We have to exercise the oversight. You know what's oversight? We have to give oversight to you, your affairs, your spiritual life, your social life, every sphere of your living. We have to give you oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, as God would have you do it. Not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. What we really want to be, Mama Val and myself, and I'm talking specifically today, although you want to send this recording out, but I'm talking to you today because we've got to get it right. We've got to get it right. I have to be an example to the flock. And I must repent if I've not been an example to the flock. And I endeavor, and I look forward to be an example to you and others that may come into the house in the days to come. Next, by governing the flock, not only must we tend the flock, but we also have the duty to correct the flock. Don't get upset with us. Don't pull your face. Don't get sour. We have the job. It's part of our job description. Your Heavenly Father has nominated us as spiritual leaders, given us spiritual authority to correct you. He's your father and he's given us. Listen, folk, the spiritual amber, the spiritual world works totally different from the secular world or from the natural world or from any other world. The spiritual world works not with democracy. There's no democracy. It's theocracy. God speaks through men, and we distribute the message of God to the flock. So by correcting the flock, let's see what 2 Timothy 2:24 says. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone. Must be an apt teacher, must be patient, must correct opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. So we have learned along the way in 21 years how now to correct the flock so that they come to repentance and they get to know the truth. And I'm sure every one of you that has been corrected, adjusted, helped, counseled, we did it and we came to some of you over and over again, doing our work with patience, teaching you, correcting you, and of course, being kind to you so that you will change and become a true son of God. Next, we govern you by bringing order to the flock. Titus 1:5, I left you behind in Crete for this reason, so that you should put in order what remains to be done. Put in order. Our job is to put in order the flock. So when we say, when we talk about the worship music is too loud or the worship is not relevant, don't get upset. We have to put in order. If we are saying that the ushers are not dressed up appropriately, don't be upset. We are putting in order. If your invocation is too long, we are saying putting in order when we talk to you. Don't get upset. Don't be sentimental. Don't take it personally. Don't be offended. We are here. It's part of our job. And it's also part of God's agenda for your life to take these instructions from us. And should appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So these are some of the things that are relevant to the body of Christ. I hope you are catching these things, registering these things, making notes, and are going to meditate upon them so that they're built into your culture as a son of God. Next, to guide the flock. Now, under guiding the flock, number one, our job is to teach from the word. I'm not here to teach from anyone's experience. We cannot allow to teach from the internet. We are not allowed to teach from anywhere. The Bible, this Holy Scripture, is our main manual. We must teach. Every man of God must teach from the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:11 says, command and teach these things. So whenever we're teaching, we cannot massage you. We got to command these things. You know what's a command? A command is something that is used in a military sense. In an army, where a command is given out and it has to be carried out, executed, and adhered to. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, this is what it says. I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, Timothy. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. I want you to convince the believers. I want you to rebuke the believers. I want you to encourage the believers with the utmost patience in teaching. So we have to pursue in teaching. Sometimes you may say, hey, what's wrong with pastor? He's got nothing else to do. He's giving us so much of teachings. He's giving us Bible studies. He's giving us e-books to read. He's giving us all this. I'm doing my job, and that's what God wants from me. Your responsibility is how you listen, how you receive that. Many of you are not even grateful. You don't acknowledge. Well, that's your thing to sort out with the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit said? Ivan, whether people respond or not, you just go on doing what I want you to do. The rest I will sort out. You set in order what is required by you as one who guides the flock by teaching the word. John 3:34. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Beloved, you know, some people may wonder, hey, how pastor knows about certain things? Did someone tell him? Did someone tell him? No. I'm a servant of God. Mama Val's a servant of God. I cannot talk about others. I can talk, yes, about my spiritual father, Thamo Naidu. He hears from God. He then discharges whatever he hears. He sends it down the line. We receive that. We give these words to you. Now, a true man of God speaks not the words of a man, not the words of his soul, but he speaks the words of God. God help us that this house will be full of words from God. Amen. That the words won't be lost, buried, but the words will be in the atmosphere of our corporate sun, the corporate environment. Hallelujah. And those words must come into our hearts. Those words must adjust us. So a true man of God is one who guides a flock by teaching the word of God. Listen, this is what 1 Timothy 3:2 tells us. 1 Timothy 3:2. Now an overseer must be above reproach. He must be the husband of one wife. He must be temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Thank God that God has blessed us with the ability to teach the word of God. We may not know everything. We may not know all the modern facilitation principles, but yes, we are able to teach. We are able to be hospitable. We are respectable to each one of you. Every time I address an email or an SMS to you or a text, I'm respectable. I say good morning, wherever you are, by your name, and I say I trust you are well. I just don't say one word. I say good morning to you. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Mogi. Good morning, Gabriel. Good morning. I trust you are well because I respect you. I respect you and I must talk to you respectfully. Self-control. A man of God must have self-control and he must be the husband of one wife. Therefore, it is important that we understand all these things. Okay, you can go on looking at this. So what is the importance? Time is running away. What's the importance of authority? What's the importance of authority? We spoke about these important principles. But now what's important? God's work and all his works issue from his throne or comes from his throne. God's throne is established upon his authority. All things have been created by the authority of God. And all laws on the earth are held together through authority. Hence, the Bible says that God upholds all things by the word which is of his authority. You read that in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. The second part. It does not say that God upholds all things by his power. No, God's authority represents God himself. God's power only represents God's works. Authority represents him. Power represents his works. You got that? Authority represents God. Power represents his works. It is easy to be forgiven of sin against God's power. But it is not that easy to be forgiven of sin against God's authority. You got that? Because sinning against God's authority is sinning against God himself. In the whole universe, only God is authority. Come on. All other authorities are appointed by God. Nothing is greater than authority in the universe. Nothing can surpass it. For this reason, if we want to serve God, we must know his authority. We must know his authority. Satan became Satan because he overstepped God's authority. He wanted to compete with God and to stand in opposition to God. Rebellion is a cause of the fall of Satan. Both Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12 to 15 and Ezekiel chapter 28, 13 to 17. I want you to open your Bibles and read these passages of scriptures. They speak of the transgression and the fall of Satan. Isaiah 14 tells us that Satan violated God's authority, while Ezekiel 28 tells us that he violated God's holiness. Violating God's authority is a matter of rebellion. It is more serious than violating God's holiness. Sin is a matter of conduct. It is easy to be forgiven of sin, but rebellion is a matter of principle. It is not easy to be forgiven of rebellion. Satan, in trying to set up his throne above that of God, he violated God's authority. The principle of Satan is the principle of self-exaltation. Self-exaltation. Beloved, there's so much of self-exaltation today in the world. That's why people get offended, they get mad, they pull their faces, and they get angry, they get bitter, they get upset, because there's a dent to their self-exaltation. Now, sin's coming into being was not the cause of Satan's fall. Rather, Satan's rebellion against God's authority, for which he was condemned by God. And this subsequently gave rise to sin. Hence, we want to serve God. If we want to serve God, we can never violate the matter of authority. I urge you, I beg you today, by the mercies of God, if you are uprising against God's authority, or you have the thought a devil has spoken to you, I want you to renounce it. I want you to delete it from your value system. I want you to get rid of this thing called rebellion. It'll take you to your death prematurely. Unforgiveness. Rebellion. Uprising. Disobedience. Self-exaltation. All will short-circuit your life. Hence, if we want to serve God, we can never violate the matter of authority. To do so is to follow the principle of Satan. Come on. So there, once you are, you know, once you are nursing, massaging, uprising, disobedience, insurrection, disregard for spiritual authority. Listen, you are now in Satan's camp if you are doing these things. We can never preach the word of Christ under the principle of Satan. There is a possibility in God's work that we can stand in principle on Satan's side while we stand in doctrine on Christ's side. Whoa, whoa. All the while we may think that we are still doing the Lord's work. This is a very evil thing, beloved. Satan is not afraid of us preaching the words of Christ. He is only afraid of us submitting to the authority of Christ. Listen, once you submit to the authority of Christ, to the authority of the Word of God, Satan's got a big problem. Our service to God can never be according to the principle of Satan. Once the principle of Christ comes, the principle of Satan must go in the name of Jesus. Even now, Satan is still a usurper in the air. He will not be cast out until the end of Revelation. Only when we wash ourselves spotlessly clean from the principle of Satan can we hope to serve God. Enough said about Satan and his deceptive works. The greatest demand God has on man is not bearing the cross, is not in your offerings, is not in your consecration or your self-sacrifice. God's greatest demand on man is submission. I say that again. Let me say that again. God's greatest demand upon you and I is that we submit to his authority. God commanded Saul to smite the Amalekites. You know the story. And destroy all that they had in 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 1 to 3. But after Saul overcame the Amalekites, he spared the king, king of the Amalekites. His name was Agag. He also appreciated the best sheep, the best oxen, and all that was given, and refused to destroy them. The instruction was, you destroy everything, you destroy even the king. But Saul disobeyed God. But Samuel said to him, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Verse 22. The sacrifice spoken of here is the burnt offering. It has nothing to do with sin. It is for God's acceptance and satisfaction. However, Samuel said that to heed and to obey are better than sacrifice. This is because even in this kind of sacrifice, there was a possibility of a mixture with the self-will. Only in heeding and obeying is there an absolute honoring of God and an exaltation of His will. Obedience is the other end of authority. Submission is one end. Obedience is the other end of authority. Here's a stick. One end is obedience. The other stick, other end is authority. In order to have obedience, one must first keep the self out of the picture. Get rid of self. One must not try to obey with self. This is only possible when one lives in the Spirit. Obedience is the highest expression of your response and my response to God's will. I say that again. Obedience is the highest expression of response to God's will. You see, when there's no, that's why faith came in, because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Satan disobeyed God. He rebelled against God. And thereafter, God had to operate on faith. But when what is greater than faith, higher than faith, is total obedience. Come on. Now, Jesus expressed this obedience to the authority of God in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord obeys God's authority first, more than sacrificing Himself on the cross. Let me say that again. The Lord Jesus Christ goes to the Garden of Gethsemane on the eve of His death, and He obeys God's authority first, more than sacrificing Himself on the cross. You can study this account in John chapter 17. Maybe this week you should meditate on John 17. At this juncture of this teaching, it would be very beneficial to define sin and then look at the consequences of disobedience and the Old Testament instances of rebellion. But let me leave that for next week. I'm so excited just to talk about this so that you are highlighted. Once your eyes are open to this, to these facts, then you are able to make the adjustments. So most probably next week, we will talk about sin, disobedience, rebellion, lawlessness. We'll speak about some examples, and we will then close this side of this teaching on spiritual authority. So let's just close our eyes and bow our hearts for a moment. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I commit everyone in our family to You. I thank You for placing all of these wonderful, marvelous, caring people under our care. Yes, we understand Satan comes to hoodwink them, to obliterate spiritual principles. Satan comes to dilute the word of God. Satan comes to steal the word of God from their hearts. But today I pray they will take one principle from this teaching and they will apply it in their lives. They will understand who God has given them and how we are trying our best to please our Father. I pray that the church, GMDS, and us, the leaders, will work together in pushing divine purpose into our lives. I bring those that are weak, Lord, those that are struggling with different issues in their lives. Please, Father, help them to overcome. As we, as spiritual leaders, continue to pray for them day and night, they will come through, Father. They will come through, Lord. Those that are weak, Lord, will come through, my Father. Breakthrough anointing over their lives. Those that are sick in body and tired of being sick, I pray for a supernatural breakthrough over their lives. I serve notice on every ailment in the bodies. Listen, Jesus is greater than you, your ailments, and I command you to leave the bodies of our people in Jesus' name. My God, I pray today, those that are having their jobs threatened, I pray, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, You'll secure their jobs, secure them, Lord, so that they can live, Lord, and live and be responsible. Father, I bring those, Lord, Father, that are in financial trouble and financial problems. My God, I pray you'll open their eyes to start tithing, to give of their substance, to trust you, Lord, by giving. It is in giving, Lord, that we receive. So I pray today those, Lord, that are stubborn to apply the commands of God, that they will just heed to the word of God. They will trust the word of God. And Lord, Father, submit themselves. Those, Lord, Father, having a problem, Lord, relating to spiritual authority, I pray this morning, God, that you will touch them. I pray that you will strengthen them. You'll give them a revelation of this principle from the word of God, so that doors will open, Lord. The heavens will open when they start to be obedient to the principles in the word of God. Today, Lord, I bless every single one in our household of faith. I pray, Lord, I could go on, Lord, just talking about how I love them, how good they are. So, Father, today I just pray for a special blessing upon our people, a special blessing upon all our people in the name of Jesus. Keep them, I pray, Lord. Keep them confident, Lord, guard their conscience, and I pray, Lord, as they desire to live for you, keep them honorable today, tomorrow, and forever. And everybody said, Amen.